December 26, 1906. Sanitarium, P.O., Napa County, California. December 26, 1906. Dear Brother Olson, I am not in the best condition to write to you, for the past week I have been suffering from my third attack of influenza this winter. I have been having special treatment for this disease and am now improving. We see in our world confusion upon confusion. We hear of accidents by sea and by land. Crime is increasing. This we know from the reports of our daily newspapers. Political developments in San Francisco are of a character to show how little confidence can be placed in the men who occupy official positions. Many of these men, some even who profess to be religious, are being exposed before the public as guilty of various crimes. They are giving evidence that it is time for the Lord of Heaven to destroy their property. The last great issue is soon to come. We must see, we must understand that the Spirit of God is being withdrawn from the wicked nations who have long discarded God's work, His holy law, and have formed false theories and false laws, exalting them above the commandments of God. The signs are certainly fulfilling that show that the end of this earth's history is near. And we have an individual work to do in fitting ourselves to sound the last message of warning to our world and prepare it for the closing scenes which, according to the Word of God, are soon to come. I feel deeply the need of every worker to stand as faithful watchmen to give this last note of warning, to prepare the church that those who have had the light may be awake, realizing the importance of keeping every piece of the armor on. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. From such, turn away, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Ever learning, ever presenting some new theory, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 7. This whole chapter is being fulfilled in San Francisco and Oakland at the present time. These cities, through their newspapers, are daily opening to us their true condition, the iniquity of their high officials. The very men who are placed in office to suppress evil are themselves corrupted with all kinds of evil works. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no farther, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. We have been given this example in Bible history to teach us that God will vindicate His word and fulfill His holy purpose. 2 Timothy 3, verse 8, 9. By way of contrast, the Apostle presents the opposite condition of morals that will exist among those who are faithful in their service for keeping the law of God. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came into me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Then, for our encouragement, he sounds the glad word, out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Read also Paul's solemn charge to Timothy in the 4th chapter of 2 Timothy. The time spent by the officials of San Francisco in investigating the frauds of some of their officers has been, in the providence of God, a precious opportunity for brethren Simpson and Hibbard to present the truth to large congregations in the city of Oakland. Before these brethren began their series of meetings, Elder Haskell and wife were holding meetings in the large tent in Oakland, following up the work of the camp meeting and instruction, classes, some who wished to learn how to do Bible work. This was a successful meeting. The Lord manifested His power and grace. Elder Hibbard assisted Elder Haskell in his work, speaking at the evening meetings. This brought the truth before the people of Oakland in clear lines, and the work was continued until Elder Simpson commenced his tent effort. Brother Simpson's meetings were largely attended, and the people listened to his words with spellbound interest. The interest continued from first to last. With his Bible in his hand and basing all his arguments on the Word of God, Brother Simpson traced out before them the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation. His own words were few. He made the Scriptures themselves explain the truth to the people. After giving them the truth, Elder Simpson would draw an expression of opinion from his congregation. Now, he would say, "Those who see the truth of what I am saying, raise your hands." And in response, many hands would be raised. I can only poorly represent to you the interest his work has created. In his teaching, Elder Simpson showed that the spirit of prophecy has an important part to act in the establishment of the truth. When binding off his work, he called for me to go to Oakland to speak to the people. When the call came, I had just begun to recover from an attack of influenza, but I said, "I will go." This was the first time for 4 weeks that I had left my home premises. We left St. Helena on Thursday afternoon. On Friday, I was very ill. Nevertheless, I spoke on the Sabbath in the congregational church in which our people usually meet for their Sabbath worship. Between 400 and 500 people were assembled. I was feeling weak from my illness, but I prayed that God would help me. As soon as I began to speak, the reviving influence of the Spirit of God came upon me, and I was strengthened. I spoke 1 hour and 15 minutes with a clear voice, for the power of His grace was upon me. I was very thankful for this evidence of the power of the Spirit of God. On Sunday, I rode several miles to the baths where Elder Simpson baptized 31 candidates. The service was beautifully conducted, and everything passed off with perfect order. The songs interspersed through the service seem to be carrying the joyful news to heaven. As many more persons will be baptized in about 4 weeks' time, for all were not fully prepared to go forward in this ordinance at that time. My heart is filled with gratitude for this representation of those who have received the truth under the teaching of Elder Simpson. I have also spoken in the meeting house in San Francisco, which James White and I and a few others were the means of establishing there. The house was preserved through the San Francisco fire and only slightly injured. The chimneys were thrown down and some of the plaster shaken off. The work is still being carried forward in San Francisco and Oakland, for souls must be warned. Now is our time and opportunity, while these revelations of dishonesty and fraudulent transactions are being made. While these people have these things brought daily before their notice, the reasonable arguments of the Word of God, its predictions that just such practices will be carried on in every city, will appeal to their minds and consciences better than would any language we could use to represent the existing evil and point out their meaning. Elder Simpson will take up his work again in about 2 weeks' time, and after that, he will labor in San Francisco. The truth is being proclaimed in these cities as it has never been before. We feel that now is our time to work, just now. We must unite, be united in the work, and press together. My workers are now engaged in preparing my diaries of my experience in Europe and Australia. We want to prepare this matter for book publication, that the people may understand the character of the work the Lord has given me to do for the last half century. I am of good courage in the Lord, and I praise His holy name for this. Signed, Ellen G. White. From Dr. Paulson's collection.